जय शुपाल परमहंस परिवाराचार्य सोदर्शन श्रीमान अभिजनानंद भक्तिविरान गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद जय मित्रिया प्रविष्ट शुपाल परमहंस परिवाराचार्य सोदर्शन श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद आनंद गोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शहरदास ठाकुर प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की और प्रेम वृंद ऑल गौरीश दसमल गौरीश ऑल गौरीश दसमल गौरीश ऑल गौरीश दसमल गौरीश All glories, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhagavane Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashacharya Deshadharine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samsara Sagare Madham Dinam Karunanidhe Karmatra Hridangam Maam Uddhara Vaanava Srimad Bhagavadakhyam Pratyaksha Krishna Devahi भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तथा प्रभो नामकीर्तनम्यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुख शमनम तम नमामि हरि परम जन्माद्यस्य तोन्मयादिदरदस चातरेषु विज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगवये सूरया तेजो वारिमृतम यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा नाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तमोहकम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते कुम्भावरेण्योहृद्यमनिगमकल्पतलोकलितम् सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी दुर्शेष शून्यवा
ಮಹಾಕಾಲಿ ಆಶಾಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಮ ವಂದೇ ನಂದಮಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಭೀಷಾಕೀತೀ ಗೋಪೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾನವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀನಾಂಬರಕರವಿರಾಜಿತಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮುದರೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನೀಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಲಂ ಕೂಜಯಂ ವೇಣುಂ ಶಾರದಾಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಕಾಂ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯವರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಭರತೋ ಮಮ ಮೂಕಂ ಧರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ
important factor. Sattvagunam binds us through knowledge. Rajogunam Vaimshastro Karma, which we have seen yesterday how he does that. So, this Rajogunam, as Krishna has spoken, that Rajogunam has a very difficult situation because Ragam comes from Rajogunam. Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi. Trishna Sangha Samulbhav. Desires come from Rajogunam. Desires come from Rajogunam. So, whenever we experience desires inside, whenever attachment is very, very strong, you can take it that we are in the mood of Rajogunam, in the mood of passion. That is why it is happening. Sattugunam's nature is not to get attached. Sattugunam's nature is knowledge. That means a attachment is not there inside. There is no attachment anywhere. Everywhere it is knowledge. Knowledge is present in everything. And that is why Krishna is saying that all this understanding of the self can only manifest when one is in Sattvam. That is what Krishna mentioned is in the Bhagavatam repeatedly. Sattval Sanjayane Jnanam. So first thing is to come to this Sattvam. How to come to that? Sattvam. That is the most important factor. That Sattval Sanjayane Jnanam. Jnanam will come through in Sattvam freely. It will flow through in Sattvam. In Rajogunam, it will all be opposite. This is the reason why I was saying that when you present this knowledge of the self, science of Bhagavad Gita to others, without knowing in what state they are, when somebody is completely absorbed in the rajasic activities. What is the rajasic activity? Rajasic activities are like this, which is all forbidden things from the Shastra. Nishidharama, forbidden things. Or even fruitive activities, which is Kamya Karma. All of them are in Rajasa state. Therefore, you may present Bhagavad Gita to someone, apparently it may appear as though they are well placed in the society, or they are leading members in the society, but because their activities are very much in the Rajasam, Rajasic nature, it will not have any effect. It will be a complete waste of time. There is no point thinking that if we get hold of all the top people like the Prime Minister and President and big businessmen and big politicians and big bankers or whatever, whoever is there, get them all together and give them a copy of the Bhagavad Gita and thinking that they are all going to become Krishna conscious tomorrow, that will be a little bit off the mark. It is not going to happen, it's not possible. Because that is what Krishna is saying, that is the reason why we are studying this chapter. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. You can see even Prabhupada's commentary on that. Whereas if you look, you will see here. Mood of passion is characterized by the attraction between man and woman. Woman has attraction for man and man has attraction for woman. This is called the mood of passion. And when the mood of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification. For sense gratification, a man in the mood of passion wants some honor in the society or in the nation, and he wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife and house. These are the products of the mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that he becomes associated with the fruits of his activities and becomes bound by such activities. In order to please his wife, children in society, and to keep up his prestige, one has to work. Therefore, the whole material world is more or less in the mood of passion. Modern civilization, Prabhupada is specifically saying this, modern civilization is considered to be advanced in the standards of the mode of passion. And formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in the mood of goodness. If there is no liberation for those in the mode of goodness, what chance is there of those who are entangled in the mode of passion? You can't be more straight than that, isn't it? So, we must know these things. When we think, see, in the open world, what you see normally is that Swamis are going and talking to these big men of the so-called society And under the impression that by changing them, the society is going. But they are not going to change. They can't change. They are caught up in this mode of the Rajogunam. And therefore it is difficult for, it is not possible for them to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. So either what happens, Swami is cheating them or they are cheating Swami. Whichever way it is, like, you can take it. That's all the benefit from that. Nothing is going to happen from that. It's not possible. That is why we were saying this yesterday also, that the in the mode of passion, if you give transcendental knowledge to them, they will misunderstand everything. They will take it in the wrong way. Like the way Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Ravana and many others have. Ravana also speaks big philosophy, you know that. Ravana can speak philosophy very well, better than all of us. And as much as Hiranyakashipu can speak about philosophy. But why? What is the difference? But look at what Ravana has gone and done at the end. Gone and stole Sita Devi, isn't it? After studying all this philosophy, this is what Ravana has understood. So in the same way, only in the mode of goodness, that is why Krishna is saying, Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam, Sattugunam, 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 he keeps saying this. And in order to create this Sattugunam in a person, first, karmam has to be clear. If karmam is full of adharmam, irreligious, without any principles, then it is very difficult because karmam decides more or less a person's subhavam also to a large extent. Karmam has a very powerful influence on the subhavam. That is the reason why it is spoken like that. And that is why yesterday we were mentioning this, that the till this karmam is clear up, that even when Krishna concludes the Bhagavad Gita, when he says that sarvadharmān parityajya vāmeyam, if you read the Bhashyam on that from the Ajahn Swami's Bhashyam, he says, first you have to wipe out all the adharmam from life. Then you can give up dharmam. Now the understanding is, most of the people say, sarvadharmān parityajya vāmeyam sharanam vraja means, you don't have to follow any dharma. And you have to surrender, you can surrender to Krishna. This is the misunderstanding what many people have got. That is not what that verse is talking about. Verse is saying, first of all, sarva dharman varitejya, that sarva dharman varitejya, that includes adharmam as well. First you have to give up the adharmam, then only you give up the dharmam, which comes much later. First adharmam has to be given up. Without giving up adharmam, simply talking about, first of all, he didn't have any dharmam to give up. And that is the person who is talking about giving up dharmam later. He was full of adharmam instead. And that person is talking about giving up dharmam as well. And that surrender is not what Krishna is saying. And that we'll see when we come to that chapter, in the 18th chapter, that 66th verse. So, important point here is that this Rajogunam engages a person in adharmam in many ways because of the lack of the knowledge of the self. And there is lack of the sattvagunam in a person, which we have discussed yesterday. So, Rajogunam's nature is like that. Rajogunam is important in a person. That person feels that he has to be doing something all the time. And that is the nature of the Rajogunam. So, the only thing one can do is when Rajogunam is very, very strong, if the environment, the Rajogunam is very strong, you should learn how to move away from there, from that rajasic nature, environment. And when, what to talk about, rajogunam you have to move out. Even in sattvagunam you have to be cautious. You have to be cautious. How cautious? Why one should be cautious in sattvagunam? That also we have to know. Because we saw how sattvagunam binds us, isn't it? In the earlier verse, when Krishna talked about the sattvagunam, what did we say about that? Sattval, sattvam, Krishna mentions there, that the tatra sattvam nirmalatvar prakashakam anamayam sukha sankhena badhanodi. That is also binding us. How? Jnana sankhena chanaka. At the moment we don't have to worry about this. We are not in that situation yet. Our problem is the next one, rajogunam, isn't it? If you come to sattvagunam, you are very fortunate, you have to say. That because Krishna says there is not very serious issue. Sukha sankhena badhanadi, jnana sankhena chanaka. There what happens is in that sattvagunam a happiness comes in life. a kind of peacefulness inside, shanti, and always feeling satisfied. These are all symptoms of satvaguna. And even that will bind a person. Krishna is saying here that satvaguna, for example, satvaguna state, one will receive good meditation inside, dhyanam will develop. That means because of the satvaguna, nature is like that, very inward looking and very reflective nature builds up in a person. A vasana for reflection builds up inside. That is why Krishna says here that when you feel happiness in that state, don't get trapped in that. That's the point Krishna making. Not to get trapped in that, because that happiness what you are experiencing is the happiness of the soul. Alpa sukham it is. And somehow or the other, in Sattvaguna, because of Krishna's grace, you have experienced a little bit of that. That's all it is. Because of Sattvaguna, you have experienced a little bit of that. And next time, and it may leave also after a while, it won't stay, it will go. But next time, when Krishna gives it again, let it come. When Krishna gives it again, let it come. You have to take it that way. That's happiness, what you have experienced in the Sattvagunam, you have to take it that way. That happiness has come, it has come from the soul, that is Krishna's grace, Kripa, that is. That in Sattvagunam, when you experience some happiness in spiritual life, you have to immediately understand that that happiness has come from the soul. And it may go, also it will not stay. And you should not think, oh, I've lost it. And you should also not think that with your mind, again and again, and lament over it. So I've lost it, I'm not getting it again. That happens in spiritual life for many people. That after progressing a while, disciplined life and sadhana and following principles and becoming a little bit serious about spiritual life, at some stage you start feeling this, that you felt some sattvagunam and some effect of sattvagunam, but later on you lose that. But when you lose that, you start feeling lamentation about it. Why I am not feeling that happiness anymore? Krishna says, that's not allowed. That's not allowed. Because that is bondage. That is the bondage of the sattvagunam. So Krishna is saying here, suga sankhena bedhnadi jnana sankhena chanaka. That should not be. So maybe after that, when rajogunam comes back, again you will fall back into your old state. And at that time, you should not think, oh, yesterday I was feeling very good. Today I'm not feeling so good. That thought should not happen. And in the result is this, that in the Shastram also, when you are studying, in the mode of goodness, you will understand things properly. But now, something else was discussed and you started feeling, oh, I can't get around this. I can't understand it, what is being spoken. So that should not happen. That is the point Krishna is making there. That when you had some happiness in spiritual life through satsangam, through satvagunam, but tomorrow if it is lost, you shouldn't lament on that. Because if you do lament, Krishna says that means you are in bondage. Sukha sankhena badhnadi, that is the bondage Krishna is talking about in the satvagunam. Let it come and go, doesn't matter. That is Krishna's point. Because coming to satsangam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that is a duty. It is not for benefit. It's a duty. That's the way you have to take it. It's a duty. It is not a for benefit. It is done. And in there, in that, while it is going on, to feeling happy about it, understanding it, and feeling meditation from that. In other words, sometimes chittavrittis develops in the mind. That is all prakriti. Prakriti is doing that. So this is where we have to be very, very alert about these things. Because otherwise mind will take control. When we are in satsangam, whether coming to satsangam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is all kartavya karma it is. A person who has accepted the authority of the Shastram, it is their duty to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the authority of the Vedam. Vedam injunctions are like that. And, but you have to remember that in that process, if you feel mode of goodness inside, happiness inside, sometimes you understand properly, sometimes you misunderstand, or you feel some meditation in that process, dhyana, which happens in the satsangam or in the association of devotees. So, or some chittavritti, thought waves comes and goes, all that is prakriti. Prakriti is doing that. That is not in our hands. So, so just for example, chanting the holy name, the chanting process itself is our duty. It is our duty. Now, while chanting, you felt happiness or not, or otherwise thought waves have come and disturbed your mind, whether sleep comes and puts you to sleep, all that is not in your control. That is in the hands of prakriti. Prakriti is controlling that. Prakriti controls your sleep. Prakriti controls your thought waves, chittavritti, and prakriti controls your peacefulness inside, shanti inside, even while chanting the japa. And that Krishna will explain in the 18th chapter. If you look, you will see a verse there, how it works. 18th chapter, I think it is the 9th verse in the 18th chapter. That's an important point. 9th verse. Kaya nityeva yal karmam niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyaga sattvigomadaha. That is what it is. Karyam ityeva yal karmam niyatam kriyate arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyagam sattvigomadaha. While talking about tyagam, Krishna is saying, by he who performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is of the nature of goodness. Yeah. So, when we are in satsangam also, or while chanting, in all our activities, devotional activities also, this approach is the right approach, what Krishna is talking about. You can't think about the after effects of your satsangam. What happened? Sukham will come. Sometimes chittavritti will come and disturb the mind. Thought waves will come. Sometimes sleep will come. They, all three of them, are coming from prakriti, from the modes of nature. When you are chanting the holy name, sometimes you feel happy inside. You have chanted 16 rounds or 64 rounds or whatever. And then you felt that you have done something nice in life. You felt some peace inside due to the sadhana. That's one aspect. Another aspect, while chanting, you couldn't chant properly because it was so many thoughts coming through, disturbances one after the other. That's second stage. Another stage, you couldn't chant even you were falling asleep all the time. What Krishna is saying there, that in spite of all that, you have to chant. You have to chant. Because these three different states, what you have experienced, is coming from the three modes of the prakriti, not from you. It is, if sattvagunam comes in, what happens is, you will feel that happiness while chanting. If rajogunam comes in, you will feel all the chittavritti while chanting. If tamogunam comes, you will fall asleep while chanting. But irrespective, that is the point Krishna is making. You have to know this connection between this verse. Kaya nityevayat karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam chaiva satyagam satyagamada. Sangam tetva bhalam chaiva. This is a way to approach. That is why that sattvagunam, when we discuss sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, its impact in us. Because all these three things are happening in the mind. Krishna's point is, by he who performed, still, in spite of all the different experiences of peacefulness or shanti or chittavritti, thought waves, or sleepiness, any of them, doesn't matter. He says, by one who performs his duty only because it ought to be done. That is the determination while chanting. And renounces all attachment. Doesn't matter how it has happened. Renounces all attachment to the fruit. His renunciation is of the nature of goodness. So, this important connection you must notice while studying these three modes of nature. After saying that, so Krishna himself saying that action should be performed for the sake of performing actions. For the sake of performing actions. Whether you have the mood or not. Because often that is how it is, isn't it? If I am in a mood, I will chant. If I am not in a mood, I will not chant. That is not spiritual life. That's not spiritual life. Whether you have the mood or not, whether you are feeling happy or not, that is a duty. That is why it's called anushtanam. It's called anushtanam. You have to do it, irrespective of what your mood is. So, Krishna says here, when happiness comes, you feel attached. Naturally, sukham. Sukham comes. Sangam comes. That is what he is saying here. Sukha sanghena badrati. In that sixth verse, sukha sanghena badrani. Sukham comes, immediately you get attached to it. And what will happen? Then in the rajogunam, karma sanghena dehinam. In karma, you will also in the same way get attached. In the sattogunam, sukham comes. So you get attached to it. Sukha sanghena badrani. In the similar way, Krishna is saying in rajogunam also, you will be prompted to engage in karma and you will get attached there. You will get attached to karma. So, with that we finish these two modes of nature, sattvagunam and rajogunam. The next mode is more important because that's our mode, isn't it? Our permanent mode where we have landed off. So, that will be more interesting to discuss. Let's look at that. Next one, 8th verse.
Tamastvam ajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramadalasya nidhravil tannibhadradi bharata tamastajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramadalasya nidrami stannibhadradi bharata.
Unlike sattvagunam and rajogunam, Acharya Swami didn't even comment about tamogunam because he didn't want to waste his time writing about things which has no importance as far as the spiritual life is concerned. He mentions, all he mentions is tamastu ajnanajam vidhi. It is ajnanam it is. Tamasa means ajnanam. Mohanam sarvadehinam and pramadam alasyam nidra. The three qualities of this tamogunam. Tannibhadnadi bharada. And he is bound by those things. So, so tamaha tritiyo gunaha is the third gunam. Ajnanajam ajnanam jatam. Krishna is saying ajnanajam. Ajnanajam means ajnana jatam. It was born from ajnanam. It's born from ajnanam or avidya. Vidhi mohanam. What it does is it puts you into powerful illusion, delusion in other words. Mohagaram. Mohagaram means all kinds of bhranti or madness builds up in a person. Avivegaram. Avivegaram means doesn't know how to discriminate things properly. Just goes along with the mind. Whatever mind says, that's alright, mind. My mind, it is like this now, I'm going to do that. That attitude. Sarvadehinam, sarvesham, dehavadam. All living entities, all times, strong identification with the body. With the body. Pramadam, alasyam, nidra. Pramadam means madness. Alasya means laziness. Nidra means sleep. All these three things. Pramadam cha alasyam cha nidra cha pramadalasya nidraha tavihi tat tamo nidra tamo nibhadnadi bharada. Such a person, you can say that he is totally in the control of this tamogunam. So, mainly it creates misunderstanding. It creates misunderstanding. That is what Acharya Swami said. Whole thing will be totally in a hopeless state. Hopeless state. Remember yesterday in the Bhagavatam also it says that verse in the first canto, if you look, Pathivadharino Dhumam Tasmad Agnitrayi Bhavet, he says. That three states, if you, second chapter in the 24th verse, Pathivadharino Dhumam Tasmad Agnitrayi Bhavet, Tamasastu Rajastasma Sattvamya Brahma Darshanam. Three things. You got the firewood, then you got the smoke, and you got the fire. Isn't it? Pativat dharmo dhumam tasmat agni trayimaya. Trayimaya. So, when there is solid firewood, that is tamoguna. That is tamoguna. When it catches fire and smoking, it's rajoguna. And when there is fire, it is satoguna. When there is fire, it is satoguna. That is it. Parthivat dharino dhumam tasmat agni trayimaya. So, tamasastu rajastasma. But if you come to that fire stage, that means there is no chitavati, you are pure inside, like the fire. And that says, Sattvamya Brahma Darshan, it is favorable for Brahman realization. Brahma Darshan. Bhagavadam says that. So, these three things is there. Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. And this Tamogunam, Tamasa or darkness, is a very heavy thing. It's a very heavy thing inside us. And in everybody, all these three modes are there. Modes are there. Some people, Sattvagunam is predominant. In some people, Rajogunam is predominant. And some others, Tamogunam is predominant. What is the nature of this Tamogunam? Tamogunam's nature is, it is born completely, purely from Ajnana, ignorance. Purely from Ajnana or ignorance. Ajnana or ignorance. And its very nature itself is Ajnana. The very nature of Tamogunam is Ajnana. What does that mean? It means that I am this body, first thing. And I am only this body, nothing else. I am only this body, nothing else. And another concept is, all I have to do in my life is to do things in such a way that my body is happy. I am only this body, and acquiring the bodily happiness is the only goal of life. This is all Tamoguna. And all my happiness is in this happiness of the body. To think like that. And I have to work for that happiness. And another aspect of this Tamogunam is that I am separate, everybody else is separate. I am on my own, I have to look after myself. And therefore, for my happiness, I will do whatever I have to do in this world. My happiness is more important than others' problems or others' happiness. And keeping everyone away and thinking that I am living happily, I am enjoying my life, all these conclusions are in a person in the mode of ignorance. Selfishness basically. Total selfishness. And that means that I am separate, everyone else is separate. I am separate from everyone else. And this Vedam, Vedabuddhi, which comes there, that Ahankaram inside, that's a kind of ego inside. And when it is very deeply involved in his personality, that means in his Surubam, when it becomes very deep rooted in one's personality, and if it is, when his nature is Tamoguna, his nature is Tamoguna. Do you understand that point? That Tamogunam's nature is like that. That it makes you feel that you are the body, number one. The happiness of your body is the only criteria in life, which drives your life through, all the way through. Because happiness of the body is important, you are always thinking that you are separate from others, you have no connection with. On a spiritual level, Atma is one. Never forget that. So therefore, because Atma is one, one who is conscious of that will be careful not to hurt another living entity. Although in Vyavaharam we will experience difficulty, but still the higher knowledge should always override our actions. Our knowledge will override our actions. That is necessary. But in Tamogunam that cannot happen, because the Ahankaram is dictating, or the false ego is dictating from inside, I am separate, it's my happiness, I am more concerned about me, what happens to others, I don't care. This will come very strongly inside. And such a person that Krishna is saying here, Tamogunam is very powerfully present inside. That is why he is saying there, that word, you see, Mohanam Sarvadehinam, he says. Mohanam Samadhinam. It deludes a person completely. Completely deludes a person. He will not know anything. And he will argue everything what he does is right. And he will give you a lecture by thumping on the bench or table that how correct he is in his conviction. And he will say that whatever he does is right. Mohanam Sarvadehinam. Total delusion, Krishna says. You won't know anything else. And you can't explain anything to that person because such a person who is so absorbed in tamogunam, the chances of him coming to satsangam is very, very rare. Is very, very rare. Such a person find it very difficult to come for satsangam. The chances are very little that he will come to satsangam. That you can see. If you look at people, you will see that that when the tamogunam becomes very powerful, they find it very, very difficult to hear Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. All this is unknown language. They just think that, why do I have to hear Bhagavad Gita, they will say. Why do I have to hear Bhagavatam? I am pure inside, they will say like this. The first symptom, Shastram says, if you are pure, the first symptom of purity is that you will have interest in satsangam. That is the first symptom. If chitta shuddhi is there, naturally you will be attracted for satsangam. That is the first symptom of the purity inside. So Krishna's point is like this, that the that this tamogunam is present in everyone, and not only that, when tamogunam is very, very strong in a person, more or less you can take it as he has just entered into the human species from the animal species. That person has just came in, first visitor to the human body, from the animal body. Because all human species are not similar, isn't it? These three modes of nature will present in people in different ways. And so when you are in the tamogunam, if you look at a person, and from when he has come to the human species from the animal species, practically you can say that 99% of that person's nature will be animal nature, animalistic nature, and 1% in the human nature. But he has got a human body. But the nature, swabhava is concerned, 99% is animal and 1% is human. And when you keep on changing, when that swabhava changes, little by little, that animal percentage gets reduced, and more or less when it comes to 50%, somehow around 50%, that is when he starts looking through the window, what's going on here? Or some sort of inquiry begins, when it comes to that 50%. So, by now, you can take it that Sattvagunam and Rajogunam has becoming a little bit more stronger in that person. One shouldn't have to feel bad about it because we have all gone through this, or every one of us in one stage or the other, we have gone through that. So it is in that stage when it is about 50% that when he starts looking up and inquiring a little bit here and there, and little things he will understand. About spiritual life. So if the sattvagunam gets reduced and rajogunam and tamogunam goes up in a person, this is all you have to know this. When sattvagunam gets reduced, rajogunam tamogunam goes up in a person, if he comes to satsangam still, he will sleep. He will fall asleep. That's because of the that tamogunam's strength and the strength of the rajogunam. If it is a lot of tamogunam, strong tamogunam, he will sleep. If it is rajogunam is present in that person to a higher degree, whatever that's been spoken, he will understand in the opposite way. So now you can see how that means only in sattvagunam you will get the message right. This is the problem. That just being in the satsangam alone is not sufficient. In the satsangam, only in sattvagunam you will get it right, the message. Otherwise, in Rajogunam, if you hear, you will misunderstand everything. Everything in the opposite way. In the opposite way. In Tamogunam, you will sleep. You sleep. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, from here, you can understand that even understanding something is not in our hands. To that extent, Prakriti has tied us down. She has tied us down even to that extent. We are saying, my life, my life, my life. We keep saying, my life. And we can come and sit here. But if Tamogunam comes and takes over, you can sit here. But even though you may sit here, but understanding all these things, what Krishna has spoken, that is not in our hands. That is not even... That is why Krishna is saying here that always you have to be conscious of this one thing. That behind this Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, staying behind this, there is another power controlling us. There is another power and we should be conscious of that. That power which is controlling us and accept, recognizing that power behind these three modes of nature and waiting for Krishna's grace, which has brought us into Sattvagunam and who has to bring us to Sattvagunam and who has to give this knowledge of the self to us and to take us beyond the three modes of material nature. That is all in Krishna's hands. That's all in Krishna's hands. That means here that we have to hold on to that power which is behind these three modes of nature, who controls the three modes of nature, to take his shelter, Krishna's shelter, in other words. Holding on to Krishna's shelter, waiting for Krishna's grace and expecting that Krishna will bring us into this Sattvagunam first. And then Krishna will give us that knowledge of the self to us. And he will take us beyond us, take us beyond these three modes of material nature. Trigunatita state it is called. Tripunadhitam. That is a word you will see later on. Krishna uses that word. Tripunadhitam. Tripunadhitam means going beyond the three modes of material nature. Going beyond the three modes of material nature. So, in order that to happen, we have to take shelter of that power who is playing with these three modes. Isn't it? We have to surrender there. There is no other way. That is another way. It is based on this that Krishna has said before, Devi Kyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya Mamevayam Prabhadyande Maya Vedam Tarandide. It is on this understanding. This has to be very clear that you or me have no freedom to change the modes of nature. Because we are just acting under the modes of nature at different times, isn't it? But behind these three modes of nature, there is that supreme person, who is behind that, controlling these three modes all the time. According to his control of the modes of nature, we have to play the game. We are, just like we say, that if you are dressed up as Ravana, you have to play Ravana's role in the drama. Isn't it? So, in Krishna's this huge stage, what he has created, in that modes of nature, wherever he has put us in, according to that, you have to play that role, whatever you have been put into. So, knowing very well that behind these three modes of nature, there is a superior power operating, and by whose grace only we have to take whose shelter, and by whose grace it will take us into Sattvagunam first, and in that Sattvagunam will deliver the knowledge to us properly, and finally take us beyond the three modes of nature. We have to wait for that. That is the answer to this situation. So that is why Krishna is saying here that Krishna mentioned before that Mahamaya, Devi Kyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya, Krishna's Maya, Devi Maya. So this Devi Maya, Asuri Maya, there is two kinds of Maya there. And it is also addressed as Vidyasurubini, Avidyasurubini. Vidyasurubini, Avidyasurubini. When Vidya is operating, you are under Devi Maya. When avidya is operating, you are under asuri maya. Asuri maya. So, and the same thing, in the Lalla Sahasranama, they use the word jadashakti and chitshakti. Bhagavad Gita also uses the word chitshakti. Chitshakti is the devi maya and jadashakti is the asuri maya. Jadashakti jadalpmiya. Chitshakti chetana rubam jadashakti jadalpmiya. That means chitshakti or devi maya strengthens the spiritual side and jadashakti jadalpmiya, the asuri maya strengthens the material side. So that chitshakti or devi maya or vidya maya, whichever way you call her, and if you surrender to her, that avidya maya or maya which is in the jadashakti will take us little by little from tamogunam to rajogunam. First it will take us from tamogunam to rajogunam, and from rajogunam to sattogunam, and from sattogunam it will take us further into knowledge of the self, beyond the three modes of nature, and that is the state, gunadhita state. Trigunadhitam, gunadhitam, it is called, I think that word comes later, gunadhita state. And Devi Mahalakshmi says like this, esham, saisham, prasannam, varadam, mrittam, bhavadi muktaye, that ambiga, Sri Parvati, Devi, who is addressed as the personification of this power, maya. When we say that, you don't have to think in, when we say maya, prakriti and all that, you don't have to go into the form straight away, as female form or male form in that way. Moolam prakriti, that is what it is. And that powerful force behind everything, which controls everything, in her control is this, our body, our mind, our intelligence, our ego, everything is in her control. Everything is in her control. Even if you, only if she makes us to think in a particular way, you can think in that way. To such an extent, you are controlled. Sometimes you wonder, isn't it, why such a thought came to your mind? That is when you have to understand that prakriti is controlling everything from behind. Why such a thought came? If you ask the question, there is no answer to that. Because you don't know, it has happened. So many different, sometimes somebody decide to go and kill someone. What made that person to do that? This prakriti, maya, isn't it? We give them punishment and all that. That is another thing after that, based on our own law of the world and everything. But why the person did that? If you ask the question, you can't get an answer to that, isn't it? So practically, this is the most, in Devi Mahalakshmi, Devi Mahalakshmi is a famous book, like our, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, there is famous Devi Bhagavatam. And in the Devi Bhagavatam, which is much bigger than the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also written by Vedavyasa Maharshi. So in there you will see glorifying her. And there is a very important part in that Devi Bhagavatam, talking about her power, her potencies. So many things listed, all coming from her. Ya Devi Sarva Rubeshu Buddhi Rubena Samsthita Namastase 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 Namo Nama. You know, everyone in the form of intelligence, who is operating? Sri Parvati or Devi. She is operating. Maya. She is operating. So for her, our obeisances three times to her. Then in other words, in your intelligence some thought is developing. It can also happen only due to her. Only if she makes it happen, then it will happen inside the thoughts. Ya Devi Sarva Rubeshu Trishna Rubena Samsthita. Trishna Rubena means desire. Who? She brings that desire in your mind. What can you do? Because through modes of nature, she is controlling everybody. She brings that desire inside. Again, Namastase 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 Namo Nama. Three times, obeisances to her. So, Buddhi is her Swarupam. Trishna is her Swarupam. Because it is in Prakriti, everything is happening. In the material nature, these things are happening. Intelligence, desire, thoughts, everything is in the material nature. And similarly, when she decides to put us into sleep, she decides, oh, you should have a good sleep today. She decides. Then you can get a good sleep. Sometimes we say, oh, I couldn't get a good sleep tonight. Blame who? Whom will you blame? యాదేవి సర్వభూతేషు నిద్రారూపేణ సంస్థిత నమస్తస్యే 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 నమో నమః. షీ హస్ డిసైడెడ్ యూ షుడెంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ స్లీప్ టుడే. వాట్ టు డూ? యూ కాంట్ స్లీప్, యూ కాంట్ డూ ఎనీథింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్. ఇట్ So similarly, you see how strongly we are controlled. As far as sleep is concerned, we are controlled. As far as our thoughts are concerned, we are controlled. As far as desires are concerned, we are controlled. Next one, Yadevi Sarvabhudesu Kshudharubena Samsthita. When she says, get some food, you're hungry now. Go, run after food. That time, no philosophy, nothing works in this world. Straight away into wherever whoever is giving prasadam, you are there to get it. So this is our freedom, so-called freedom. And food is controlled, eating is controlled, sleeping is controlled, thoughts are controlled, everything is controlled. And still we are saying we are lot of independence. What independence have we got? So that is why Krishna is saying, so what can be done? So all around us, all the time in us, surrounding us is this Prakriti. Prakriti is standing there. And there to take shelter, take her shelter. And that is why one or another thing mentioned there, Yadevi Sarvabhuteshu Matru Rubena Samsthita, like a mother. She is there. Matru Rubena Samsthita. Because why Matru Rubena means mother's nature is always compassion and karunyam, isn't it? Karunyam, mercifulness. That is mother's nature. So, but you should not think that in the form of a woman in that time, because the reason is Matrutvam is Krishna's another nature. Krishna's another nature. Because when a child is born, we talked about this before also, when a child is born, in order to look up that child to grow up in this world, it needs protection. It needs protection. So at that time, to sacrifice everything for the sake of the child, Krishna comes to through the mother. Comes through the mother. It is not the mother's quality. It is Krishna's quality that it is. It comes through the mother for the sake of the shelter of the child. That's all it is. And it will leave also when the purpose is done, when the purpose is finished. So this is more interesting. Sometimes someone who is very, very selfish person, when she has a child, it makes her very selfless. That Krishna's power is so strong, even someone who is very, very selfish, after a child is born, it makes that mother to become more selfless, isn't it? At least temporarily, in a selfless stage. That power which operates through that mother, in order that the child has to grow up, and for the child's protection, and for the care of the child, it makes her work and operate in this world. And that power does not belong to that woman. It belongs to Krishna. It is Krishna who is working at that time. Krishna's power alone, who protected that child inside the womb, Krishna decided, because Krishna has entered into the womb in the form of life, isn't it? Earlier, you remember, in the early verses, what did Krishna say? In the Sarva Yonishu Kaundeya, Murtaya Sambhavandiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyoini Aham Bija Pudapidaha. He said, mention that, isn't it? And also he said, Mama Yoni Mahabrahmam Tasmin Garbham Dathamyam Tasambhava Sarvabhudanam Tadobhavadi Bharata. Second and third, 2-3 verses. So what does that mean? That means every time a birth happens, whether it is in the human species, animal species, or plants and trees, or birds or aquatics, wherever it is, when a birth is happening, Krishna is coming there through that birth, isn't it? Krishna is coming. He says here, Sarva Bhudeshu. He says here that Sarva Yonishu, not only in the human species, in all species, Sarva Yonishu Kaundaya Murtaya Sambhavandiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni Aham Bija Padapida. So, from there we can understand that this power that comes through that mother at that time, whether in the human species or any other species, does not belong to that mother. It is actually Krishna who comes through that person for the protection of the child. So that the child will, because the child also is Krishna's another expansion. Krishna has come in that form, isn't it? In that body, she has Krishna has entered, Antaryami is there inside. So, in order that child to grow up, it needs that protection, and therefore this power comes through the mother. And so temporarily she becomes the mother because of that, because of this flow of power from Krishna in that way. And because it operates. But if that person has developed that motherly quality towards all living entities, in that way she will escape from this world. She will escape from this world, she will become a realized soul. But that may not happen. It's only my child. It won't be other's child, only my children. So this will happen. So that is what that. But that quality is Krishna. That quality is Krishna. Particularly among the in the women, this quality is powerful. In men also, this power is there. This power is there. But only thing is, it manifests very strongly in a woman at the time when the child is born, and then it disappears. And then it disappears after a while. In the female species, in the mothers, if you look at it, it will be there when they are very small, very strongly, isn't it? When the children grow up and they have grown up and they got married and they had children and all that, then it is not in the same degree, that nature, isn't it? That means it's slowly disappearing from inside. It has come at the time when it was needed, and when the purpose is served, it slowly disappears also. It slowly, that quality disappears. That madratvam, that is also done by Prakriti. Yadevi sarvarupeshu sarvabhudeshu matrarupena samsthita namastase 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 namo nama. So just like you will see this even other species also, but sometimes in the animals you notice it doesn't exist to that degree. Some animals, they eat their children after they were born. They eat them. There are and or some other animals, they will give them some time to some for a short period of time. They look after them. After them, they'll drive them away, the children. If you watch this Discovery Channel, it will show there certain interesting things like that. Certain species are like that. They won't keep you with, like these tigers and all that. Just enough training to attack others and kill others, and after that they'll throw them out from the mother won't keep the child with them anymore for the rest of their life. It's only the human species we do this. Life after life, for 10 generations with you, keep it with you, and say it's mine all the time. This is only in the human species. Even the tiger, when you look at it, the way they live, you see the unattached way they are, how they are. You feel impressed by that, isn't it? They're able to do that. Then after a while, they are able to disconnect themselves. Because that purpose is served, what is the necessity further? After that, they think like that. So, then in the human species, it becomes in a little bit more refined way. So this madhutvam or motherhood only lasts for some period of time. When the motherhood comes, at that time, madhutvam one has to identify that madhutvam, motherhood. And because it is not in me, that quality, it is actually that Prakriti, Sri Parvati's quality that is coming. It is her, she is in control of everything. And because she is operating through this body, that is why the mother is feeling compassion for the child, to protect the child, to look after the child. All these things are coming from that. So it is coming from another source, this matrutvam or motherhood. There is another source, and that source is what is inside us as Krishna's presence in the Antaryami. Antaryami includes all these things also. So that tattva is Krishna is talking about here, that one has to find that source where this is coming from. So if somebody decides that I want to find out where is this compassion, attachment and compassion and kindness to the child coming from, because it's an amazing quality from the mother for the child, isn't it? Willing to sacrifice so much for the child to such an extent from a mother. Where is this quality coming from? That source, if finding out that source or that compassion, that is motherhood. That is motherhood. So, because that compassion is also capable of taking us beyond the three modes of nature, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa. And that is what Krishna is calling here, mamevaye prabadhyande. See that word Krishna used? Devi hesha gunamayi, mama maya durateya, mamevaye prabadhyande. This is what that is. Mamevaye prabadhyande means this. Mamevaye prabadhyande, we think in a different way, isn't it? We have thought mamevaya prabhatinde means because I am now becoming a devotee and I am surrendered, so I will be alright. Actually, to understand that properly, it is like this. What is that power of Mahamaya, or Maya Devi? Her power that is operating through us. The best example is this power of motherhood that is operating in this world. So, Krishna is saying here, Mam, that word in the Bhagavad Gita, is addressed also as Prakriti or Mahamaya, all these things means that. Here, Krishna is Mahamaya. Krishna, when he is speaking, in his same Bhagavad Gita, he is speaking from so many different roles. Sometimes he is Brahma, sometimes he is Paramatma, sometimes he is Antaryami. Is it not? And here, Krishna is Mahamaya. In that verse. In that verse, Krishna is Maya. Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharateya Ma Mevaye Prabhatyande Maya Medam Tarantide. There, Krishna is Maya. Because Ishvara, controller, is Mahamaya. Ishvara is also under the power of this Maya. This you may find it a little bit difficult to understand. How Ishvara is under this Ishvara definition. We are thinking Ishvara is another name of Krishna. No, it is not. Ishvara is not another name of Krishna. Krishna's one potency which operates within Maya is called Ishvara. That is the way Ishvara's thing works. Not that Ishvara is outside Maya. Ishvara is within Maya. When Krishna operates, he is called Ishvara. Because Maya, although it is under the control of Ishvara, Ishvara exists only when you look at him through Maya. Do you see that difference? You see, Ishvara exists. And Maya is under Ishvara's control. But Ishvara exists only if you look through Maya. Otherwise there is no Ishvara. Do you get that point? No, you didn't get it. Yeah. Krishna means what? Atma, soul, everyone, spirit, isn't it? Brahma, which is all different words, Jnapti, Pratnya, all different words. When we call Ishvara, Krishna is addressed as Ishvara. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Uddeshaya Arjuna Krishna. Ishvara means, within Maya what is happening, all that is in Ishvara's control, Krishna's control. Suppose if Maya is not there, there is no Ishvara also. Ishvara is there because Maya is there. So only when you look through Maya, Ishvara is present. You can think about it, you'll get it. So, although, that is, you have to look into other books also, because Bhagavad Gita is too subtle sometimes. That it required help from the Upanishads and from the Devi Mahatmyam and Devi Bhagavatam and other things. Because there you will see the way defined. Srishti Kartri Brahma Rupa, Goptri Govinda Rupini, Samharini Rudra Rupa, Tiryodhanaya Rishwari, Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. Talking about Devi is mentioned like this. How the same potency, Krishna and Sri Parvati are also not different. It is same. In another form we address Krishna as Sri Parvati, Devi. Another address of her, in a Krishna in another energy. Krishna's another energy is working, so we address her as Sri Parvati. because we are so used to seeing everything through person, and we like to identify, like in the company we have president and chief executive and board of directors and so many A line managers, B line managers, C line managers. We think in that way. Power is only one. That one, in the spiritual hierarchy, we give different names to make it easier for us. But in reality, for power is only one. There's only one power above everything. And when Krishna, that is why when Krishna is saying Bhagavad Gita to us, you can see in different places, he will say things in such a way, according to that, suiting to that particular situation. When Krishna says to us, Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartade, idi matva bhajan dhima, udhabhava samanyadaha, one place. Another, Aham alma gudagesha sarva bhudashe yasthida, Aham adhyanja madhyanja bhudana amandame vaja. If you see only as one power operating in everything, otherwise, what will happen is, different verses will contradict each other. In Bhagavad Gita, you will have a problem there. It is only that one force, whom we address as Krishna, which is operating in Bhagavad Gita in various levels, sometimes as Maya, sometimes as Prakriti, sometimes as Mahamaya, Krishna is there, or Ishvara. All that are names given to it to make it easier for us. Otherwise, what will happen? Krishna lives in Goloka. Where does Ishvara live? You will ask that question, won't you? If you start giving him a title and if you start giving him an office and designation, you have a right to ask that question. Okay, Krishna is living in Golokam, he has got his facilities there, his office is there. Where is Ishvara's office then? Then you will ask the question, Shiradakshaya Vishnu's office is there. Where is Karnadakshaya Vishnu's office? Where is all the three Vishnus? Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, where is his office? What he is doing there? So if you ask all these questions, there is no answer to all that. Although you may say this to make it easier, it is one force that is coming through all these different forms. Ishvara is also one like that. That is why this can only be clarified when you look into Upanishads, where there is Srishtikartri Brahma Rupa. When it has to, creation has to happen, that force takes the form of Brahma. Srishtikartri Brahma Rupa. Gotri Govinda Rupini. Sometimes she is addressed as the Govinda Rupa, Govinda, as for maintenance purposes. He is Govinda, Krishna. He comes in that Vishnu form, isn't it? And Samharani Rudra Rupa. When everything has to be destroyed, the same force comes from the form of Rudra. Tirodhanaka Rishwari Sadashu Anigrahrata Panchakritya Parayana. Finally, Tirodhanaya Rishwari, when you get released from this three modes of material nature, that is Ishvara. Ishvara is given that response. We address Krishna as Ishvara at that time when he releases you from the three modes of material nature. Therefore, he is called Ishvara. Do you get that point? That is the way you have to see. Otherwise, it will all be confusion all the way through. Then you will find it will never be clear. It is not possible to be clear because it will all contradict each other. You will say, oh, why not Ishvara? Some other place you may ask the question. Krishna has used the word Ishvara in Bhagavad Gita in a few places, isn't it? Ishvara sarvabhudanam hridyeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani maya. Only in relationship with maya, Krishna has used the word Ishvara there. Is it not? You can see that verse. Only in relationship with Maya. That means, even though Ishvara is not in Maya, Krishna is never in Maya. There is no question about that. But when you bring this identification of Krishna as Ishvara here, what you have to remember is that Ishvara's existence is because of Maya. Through Maya, you are addressing Krishna as Ishvara. That is the way it has to be understood. Sadashiva anugrahada panchakritya parayana. These five things, panchakritya parayana. That means creation, sustenance, dissolution, releasing us from this influence of the Maya, which is the Tirodhanika Ishwari. And finally, one who, Sadashiva anugrahada, that anugraha shakti means giving this grace to us and looking after us all the time. This is Krishna's special grace power, power of grace in other words. Maya's power is not only to look after us, they have to punish us also in Maya, isn't it? We get punished inside Maya. So both are Ishvara's duty. Ishvara is according to, based on our karma, that also comes in there. Ishvara has a responsibility to make sure that according to our karma, we suffer and we get the enjoyment in this field of Maya, in the field of Maya. That is Ishvara's responsibility. Sadashiva anugrihada. And that Sadashiva Krishna comes and gives us, protects us all the time, ultimately from all this, panchakritya parayana, all the five things Krishna does that. So, what is important here is, when you become more and more, get into the subtle side of Krishna's activities, Krishna's presence in the world and Krishna's relationships with us, you will, very subtle level, you will see the Tantriya Vidhi, Shri Vidya Sampradaya. There are many, many Sampradayas like this. Tantriya means, Krishna will talk about that in the Bhagavatam later. Tantriya means technical way of worshipping Krishna. There's a technical way. What our worship is not technical. Technical way is this, that everything very streamlined, based on the rules and regulations. And it's not purely Vaidhiya Vidhi, it's a Tantriya Vidhi. That means that power of the mantra and tantra is important there. Chanting the mantra, correct mantra, and the Tantriya. Tantriya means all that is associated with the tantra. So that is a Tantriya Vidhi. So that Tantra Vidya, and then there is Shri Vidya, another Sampradaya, Shri Vidya Sampradaya, based on the Shri Parvati's worship process. And all of them will make us aware that they are all in the same path, leading to the same thing. All these are a Shastra. This is all in the Shastra. And we will find out all these things later. So this motherhood and this compassion of the mother and that powerful mother, Mahashakti or great power that is controlling us, and you will start realizing that we are just some machine in her hands, yandra. That is what Krishna says there. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayam sarva bhudani yantra rudhani mayaya. So, you are a yantra means machine, in whose hands mayaya, Krishna says. Yantra rudhani mayaya. In Maya's control, you are a yantram. You are a yantram or a machine under the control of Maya. And it is that Maya who is present in these three modes of material nature. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And when Tamogunam and Rajogunam is very powerful, then you call that same power as Avidya Shakti. Power is one. There is no two, three powers. There is only one power. When this particular mode is present strongly, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, then you call her as Avidya Shakti, and or Jada Shakti. These are all different names. And when the same power is purified and it comes in the form of Sattvagunam, then you call her as Chit Shakti or Vidya Shakti and other names like that. Shakti is one. Shakti is only one. Shakti can only be one. There can't be many different Shaktis. Only one Shakti, but that Shakti, according to the modes, it changes its pattern. It becomes Jada Shakti or Chit Shakti, Chetana Shakti or whatever we say like that. In this mind, what we call it as, is Jada Shakti. Mind is Jada Shakti. That is important to know. Because we don't know these differences between the different powers, we take it that mind is very important, isn't it? We all think like that. Mind is such an important thing. Mind is not important. Mind is Jada Shakti. Mind is Jada Shakti. And when the mind is purified through sadhana, chanting the holy name, kirtanam, bhajan, and all that, and also by the grace of the spiritual master, if all due to that, when it gets purified, what happens to the mind is, mind loses its attachment to sense enjoyment and sense objects, and when it becomes more and more released from the influence of dead matter, jada padartham, in other words, and it loses its grip on the matter and becomes more and more subtle, at that time mind changes its form, and then it is called a chit shakti. So this always, due to our education, we are always thinking everything separate, isn't it? We are used to training thinking like that. When somebody says to you that about Krishna, about Vishnu, about the three different incarnations of Krishna, in your imagination you are thinking Krishna is sitting in Goloka, Mahavishnu is sitting in Vaikuntham, and then we have got other three Vishnus, Garbhodaya Shaya Vishnu, Karanodaya Shaya Vishnu, Shirodaya Shaya Vishnu, we have got other three offices. And then we start thinking like this, that so many places, so many offices, and so many different telephone numbers also. So if you go in this direction, you won't get anywhere. You will see that it is unlimited. But how we come to spiritual life, what we have to realize is there's only one force, one power. We accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Absolute Truth. There's no problem with that, because Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, all of them, it's me. It's me who is coming in all these different forms. Forms and names we have given. We have given to that. And in the same way, Krishna is saying here that when that, similarly the mind, we call it as the mind. Why? Because it's absorbed in the matter. Therefore it is called the mind. The same mind, when it gets purified, when it gets spiritualized, in other words, when it gets spiritualized, it loses its link with the matter. And when it gets completely pure, it comes to a stage that it is as good as Chit Shakti. It is good as Chit Shakti. So that Chit Shakti, when it becomes very, very subtle, that is what Krishna is saying here. And little by little, when mind is getting purified, what happens? It gets released from the grip of the mode of tamogunam and mode of rajogunam. And it comes to sattugunam, and finally it will be taken beyond the sattugunam, beyond sattugunam. That is what Krishna is saying there. Tamastu ajnanajam vidhi, the first line in that verse. So, tamastu ajnanajam vidhi, Krishna is saying here. Then, tamogunam means, only what it means is it's a coverage. Tamogunam means a coverage. Ajnanam means what? Coverage, isn't it? Ajnanam means coverage. So, it is from that coverage that it's a cover, a strong, thick blanket or cover on top. And what it does is, it covers the truth. It covers the truth. So, behind our life in this world, behind this, there is a big sleep going on. Big sleep. We are living on top of that sleep. There's a huge sleep happening behind that. That sleep is called this coverage. And Krishna says that from that coverage, Mohanam Sarvadehinam. Those first two lines are important. Tamastu Ajnanajam Vidhi. Mohanam Sarvadehinam. Krishna is saying. What does that mean? It means this. That there is in our real identity as Atma is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupa. We are eternal, we are very pure, and we are fully conscious, and we are always liberated. This is our identity, isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Asangoyam Pana Pana Sachidananda Rupoham. Sachidananda in another words. Sachidananda Rupoham Aham Evaham Aveyam. That is our nature. covering that nature, so our Swarupam, there is a very strong, thick layer of avaranam, or coverage of ajnanam or avidya, ignorance. Ajnanam or avidya. Krishna is saying that from that coverage comes mohanam. Mohanam sarvadehinam. Tamastu ajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. That is how Krishna puts it. Krishna says from that thick cover which is covering us all, from that cover comes out this ajnanam, avidya. Because that cover is so thick, depending on the thickness of that cover, the ajnanam that comes from there also will be very thick. Ajnanam. Mohanam means what? Mohanam means vikshepam. Vikshepam means that to accept something what I am not. To accept something what I am not. For example, they give this in Vedantam, the best example is this rajasarpam, the snake and the rope. Snake and rope. I did not see the rope. That itself is mistake. But if you have not seen the rope, that's not so bad. But instead of seeing the rope, you started seeing it as a snake. That's troublesome. Because what happened? When you started seeing it as a snake, you start getting frightened, first thing. And you started feeling that snake is bitten you. It has bitten you. All these things will come. Which here also, you didn't know about the soul. That itself is not so bad. That you didn't know that you are spirit soul. You didn't know that. That is avaranam. That is avaranam. But what has happened? Ajnanam came from that. And ajnanam, and on top of that, the mohanam. What Krishna says there? Mohanam sarvadehinam. In other words, what has happened is that all those objects in this world, which is nothing but analpma vastu. Analpma vastu means they are all dead matter, isn't it? I started feeling that all these dead matter is real thing. This is the first ajnanam in me. To take everything what is actually dead matter as real, and that belongs to me, or I want to have that, all this brahmam or mohanam has developed inside me. That is what Krishna is saying there, mohanam sarvadehinam. That is all covered in that two lines. Tamastha jnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. And how that all happened? It has happened like this. The result of that is, you can see, when that ajnanam or avidya has come from that avaranam, or that deep cover, thick layer or covering the soul, from where mohanam has come, from that moham came out at all, I am this body. Another ajnanam. I am this body, I am this mind, and I am a man, somebody else is a woman, I am an Indian, or I am a European, or I am a Hindu, I am a Christian, I am a Muslim, or I am a wealthy person, I am a poor person, or I am beautiful, or I am ugly. And all these are, this mohanam sarvadehinam covers all that. Tamastha jnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. This is all mohanam. Mohanam sarvadehinam. These things should not be there in the alma. Alma should not, cannot have any of these things, can it? But then where did this come from? All these things. Ajnanajam vidhi. They didn't come from the soul. They came from that ajnanam surrounding the soul. Surrounding the soul. So, what I am not, I have started recognizing it as me. That is one ajnanam. And along with that, I started, kept on adding to that more and more adjectives. I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am this, I am that. And finally, in the result of all that is, I am getting driven away from the truth further and further and further. And that is what Krishna is saying here. The name of that is Pramadam. That is called Pramadam. Pramadam means that. All those words are quite significant in the sense that they convey a lot of things. What is Pramadam means? You may think that Pramadam means so. Pramadam means what? Pramadam means this, some madness we think. No, it's not just madness. It's a lot more than that, madness. Madness means, this madness is 24 hours in us. Isn't it? Throughout life, this madness is there. That some identification with so many false things. And this is the battle we are fighting against in spiritual life, to get out of this pramada, this madness inside us, isn't it? So, three things Krishna says here: pramadam, alasyam, nidravi, tan nibadhnadi bharata. So that ajnanam or avidya that has come from the tamogunam, which is the thick coverage surrounding our spiritual identity, which was born from that manifests in these three forms: pramadam, alasyam and nidra. So nidra, alasyam, pramadam. If you pramadam, alasyam, nidra, if you turn it back the other way, nidra, alasyam, pramadam. Nidra means what? Nidra means, in the Shastram, the word day, nidra means padartha agrahana. Padartha agrahana means not knowing the, it's like the rope, not knowing it as rope. That is nidra. That means you are sleeping, you didn't know it was rope. That is a kind of sleep only. Suppose you saw the rope and you didn't recognize it as a rope, means you are sleeping. That is nidra. Padartha agrahana. So, not knowing anything in the right way is sleep. Here, that is how it means. That if you don't know anything, that not getting the things properly, that means you are sleeping. Nidra, adartha grahanam. So, the result of that agrahanam, padartha agrahanam, or nidra, is this, that you have no enthusiasm to do anything. No enthusiasm to do anything. No, feeling completely lazy. That comes from that nidra. So, pramad alasya nidrabi, Krishna is saying there. Take it the other way, nidra alasyam pramadam. From nidra is, first thing, you didn't know what's what. No idea. No idea means, we didn't know what we are. That is our nidra, isn't it? That nidra started. And because we don't know what we are, we don't know what to do also. That confusion comes from there. That is why we have so much confusion in the world. What should I do? Everybody asks the question. What should I do? Nidra alasyam comes from that. So this lack of what to do and what not to do, indecision making, or in other words, not knowing what I should do, this itself is a very difficult situation. That has come from nidra. The reason for alasyam is nidra. That's the point. Because of this nidra in us, don't take nidra as a gross sleeping only. When you are not woken up to the reality of the self as the soul, you are in nidra. That's the way. So because of that nidra, you are in alasyam. Because I have not woken up to the reality of the self, who I am, isn't it? My individual identity. Therefore, it is called nidra. And in that nidra, because I have no clarity, I am in a sleepy mood, alasyam has come. That is how it is, isn't it? When you wake up from sleep for a fast, an hour or so, it takes a while to get it going, isn't it? That you can see nidra and alasyam, how close they are. To get up from the bed, then to organize your morning program, all takes a little while to get the system working, everything. So it is a next step. And the last step after that is, whatever that has been spoken and that does not get inside properly. Nothing is getting clarity inside. Stulam, much more grosser level. Nothing clear. A kind of confusion in life all the time. That is pramadam. That is pramadam. So, pramadam alasyam nidradi, nidravi tan nibadhnadi bharada. This is how it binds us. How tamogunam? Tamogunam binds us in this way. Totally different from the way sattugunam or rajogunam binds us. Sattugunam binds us in a nice way, isn't it? But rajogunam binds us in a very trouble way. It's a troublesome way of karmam, 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 and going after karmam and getting into trouble at the end. And tamogunam, this is what is on offer. hopeless situation. If Kamogunam has taken over, what we have to remember is that there is not much of a hope. Because everything has gone wrong in Tamogunam. You can see, everything has gone wrong. First thing, covering the soul is this powerful thick coverage around, which is called this tamasa. It's called tamasa. That means no trace of identity as a soul. Completely thinking I am this body. Making this body comfortable in life is the only goal. All I am concerned about is welfare of this body and happiness of my body. Therefore, it doesn't matter what other bodies or what others do in this world. I have no connection with anyone else. It's only all I am concerned about is this my body. That's all. This kind of nature in a person is a very strong indication of that very strong thick layer that is surrounding that person's self. And from that ajnanam, Krishna is saying here, that tamastu ajnanajam vidhi. From that tamogunam, ajnanam has come, and mohanam sarvadehinam. And it makes into, put into a person into mohanam. Mohanam means, as I mentioned before, vichepam. Like this example of the rope and the snake, you can see there. You have not seen the snake, seen the rope, doesn't matter. That's not bad. But when you started thinking the rope as the snake, that's where all the problems started. This example is very famous in Vedantam, in the Bhagavatam. Three places it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Rajasarpam. In three places. Why? You can't find a better example than that. So it mentions like this, that I didn't know about the soul, but worse than that is, I started thinking I am this body. That's more dangerous than knowing that I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. I didn't know I am not the soul. That's bad enough. But worse is this, to think that I am this body. So, Krishna is saying here, and from that, mohanam happened, and pramadam alasyam nidra. First thing happens, nidra. It's the other way it is. But in the verse it is mentioned like that, but that doesn't matter. Pramada alasya nidra bi tannibadhnadi bharada. Nidra is the first stage. That means no identity with the identity with the padartham, what you are. Padartha agrahanam. That means I have no identity with the soul. Complete identification with the body. That is nidra. And that means you are not able to capture anything properly. What is spoken, Krishna has spoken. And that is known as nidra. Because you don't know. You are not able to know anything. Nothing is going in that stage. Next stage is that because of that nidra stage, that what has happened? No enthusiasm to do anything. Feeling a kind of lethargic nature, lethargy in other words, develops in a person. And because by now you have become a little bit more gross. From nidra state, it has become a little bit more gross. Therefore, alasyam. And when that alasyam becomes more gross after that, then it is called pramadam. Pramadam means that you have fallen away from the truth completely. And you are completely identified with the false things. That is that pramadam state. So that is why it is when that pramadam is very strong in a person, even if very nicely spoken about the truth, pramadam will not allow that person to capture the message. And even if by chance he has got something, he will not be able to utilize it and able to do something with that. This is the difficulty with this pramadam. Pramadam does solve this problem. That first of all, it won't let the message in. It won't allow the message to get in. Even if by chance the message got in to some extent, he will not be able to do anything with it. It is at that time what we call it as the, people say that my intelligence is very dull. it's not working, we say. Or you're feeling some kind of heaviness in the body, all these things, you're not able to do anything. You want to chant the holy name, but you're not able to chant the holy name. And because it is there, you can't do anything about it. Generally, we all say to everybody in the world, chant the holy name and be happy, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. The person who is saying himself is not able to do it. So what do you think? So and we say to everybody, in the Kali Yuga, there is only one hope, chanting the holy name, nothing else. And we give the verse also to them. Tell the people, Hare Rinnam, Hare Rinnam, Hare Rinnam, Eva Gevalam, Kalau Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva Gadiranyadha. Three times, he said. And on the strength of that, we preach to everybody. But that person who is saying, he is not chanting. Why? That is the answer. That is what this answer is. That because if it was so easy, like the way we say about it, we would be meeting a lot of liberated souls on the street, wouldn't we? We should be seeing by now. And there should be walking all over. The amount of propagation we have done and the books we have distributed and the amount of holy name we have chanted. The result should be there in the city if it was that simple. I'm saying, but it doesn't seem to be like that, is it? So it is easy to say these things, but you can see when you are on your own, our nature very easily changes. And this person who is doing all this preaching, propagating all this world, he goes for a retreat to enjoy for a couple of weeks break from spiritual life. He wants it. So he is finding it difficult. This person who is saying to the rest of the world, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, he goes on a retreat after a while for a few weeks away from the stress of spiritual life. So what do you say about that? So it is not all that simple as we say about that, because he is also under the control of the modes of nature. Under the control of the modes of nature. So, till Sattvagunam comes, and if till Sattvagunam comes, if you are under the control of Tamogunam, you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything about it. You can try this. You make your own decisions. You know, sometimes they make this New Year resolutions. You see, a lot of people do that, isn't it? New Year resolutions, they call it. They'll say, oh, from 1st of January, I'll be chanting 16 rounds, I'll be following all the four regulative principles, and I will remain very disciplined in my life. Every day I will read two chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, and some people take the vow, I'll attend Mangalarati every day. Some people will take the different vows, like Ekadashi, I'll be following from now on, full fast, and every Ekadashi, like this. They make all kinds of decisions. But probably on the 1st of January itself, by lunchtime, it will break. It will be gone. So, this is called that second word, alasya. That is alasya. What can be done? How can you escape from that alasya? There is only one way. There is no point in saying, I'll get rid of the alasya. It's not going to go. That in the form of that alasya, that power which comes and operates within us, and take shelter of that power. That's all. It's Krishna's power, isn't it? That these three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, is Krishna's another energy that's coming, working like this to us. So, except to take Krishna shelter, there is no other way to get out of these situations. So, the moment, depending on how much we are feeling the need, or how much you are feeling the distress inside, based on that, if you feel very strongly inside and feeling that your helpless nature or helpless state, if you are experiencing that and feeling that strong necessity to escape from this situation, that will take us to surrender to Krishna and feel that necessity to beg to Krishna for help. That's the only way you can come out of this. And there is no other way, and that is called Sharanagati. And because that power which is bring this alasyam inside, he has to take that alasyam away from us. We can't get rid of it from our own. The power which has put the alasyam in us, he has to take that alasyam away from inside. That's the only way it can work. So, And behind this alasyam and pramadam, what Krishna has used, the two words there, pramadam, alasyam. Behind that, there is a strong coverage called nidra. And nidra means, normally, it's not the ordinary sleep, what we are talking about. And so you can call like this, nidra means, in one sense, unlimited sleeping. More than what is necessary. Just like body needs a certain amount of sleep, no doubt. That is not what Krishna is talking about. Krishna never spoke against sleeping. Krishna is saying here that not sleeping itself has not a bad thing. What? Because in the earlier chapter, in the sixth chapter, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhavadasya yogo bhavadi dukaha. As far as Krishna is concerned, you have to sleep. Body needs sleep. But yuktahara viharasya yukta chashtasya karmasu yukta sapnava bhavadasya yogo bhavadi dukaha. So Krishna himself says everything in that moderate level. So what is necessary, one has to sleep. In other words, if you sleep, what is sufficient, when you feel that sleep has given you enough clarity inside, for the mind has become feeling that satisfactory feeling inside. Mind feels satisfied. Or in other words, the food what you have eaten, if it gets digested enough inside, and if one follows that route, Krishna says he can become a yogi. He can become a yogi. So, therefore, when we say about nidra, that does not mean that we should not sleep at night. We should sleep at night to only to that extent what is necessary. So, because after hearing all these things, oh nidra, Krishna is saying nidra, you shouldn't sleep. And if you don't sleep, knowledge won't come. Knowledge won't happen. So nidra practically means is sleeping more than what is necessary and sleeping in the wrong time. Sleeping in the wrong time, particularly in the early hours in the morning. Most of the people like that type, isn't it? Somehow or the other, I don't know what is the reason behind that, but people seem to be generally feeling great happiness to sleep in the early hours in the morning. That is something should not happen. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, that those things, anything that is covering the truth, Krishna is calling it as nidra here. And from that nidra of ajnanam comes alasyam, pramadam, everything. So powerful, it is so powerful, this tamogunam, that what it does is, no taste for brahmavidya. Importance is brahmavidya, isn't it? Brahmavidya means science of the soul. Brahmavidya, no taste. Salsangam, no taste. And if you heard something, not able to understand anything. All these things are result of these things. Ajnanam, tamastu ajnanajam vidhi, mohanam sarvadehina, pramadam, alasyam, nidravi, tan nibadhanadi bharada. That means the bondage, what you come through this, tabogunam, is too powerful and too strong that it is very difficult to break through. So we'll have a break.
Chedo darpanam archanam vamaha davati nirvavanam shreyakaitava chatriyavidaranam vidhyavadho jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pradipadat purnam pradasvadanam sarvatnam suvanam bharam vijayate shri krishna sangeyuktanam namnamahari bahudatija sarvashakti tatrapidane milasmarnena kada edadishitavakrupa bhagavan namami ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിഹരീ ഐ നന്ദനനുജകിങ്കരം പതിതാമാംശമേ ഭവാംബുധൗ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूली सदृशं विचिन्तया अनङ्गलदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजितं कदा भवौ तव नामग्रहणे भविष्यति
ఇదాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయినం శూన్యాయిదం జగత్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదలతాం వినిష్టవాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహలాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదతాం జనం భవ
talking about this tamogunam, then nidra, Krishna says the word nidra there, isn't it? Nidra pramadam alasyam nidrabhi tan nibadhanadi bharata. All three things are binding us. Tan nibadhanadi bharata, nibadhanadi bharata. How it binds us? Misunderstanding, which is this pramadam and alasyam and nidra or sleep. So that nidra, which is based on ajnanam or avidya or ignorance, the nature of that is no taste for brahmavidya, no taste for brahmavidya, which is a big thing, isn't it? Brahmavidya means what? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, definition of Brahma Vidya itself, what is that? It's an amazing definition that is. Brahma Vidya Sarva Vidyam Pratishtam. The real Vidya is Brahma Vidya. All other Vidya is dependent on this Brahma Vidya. Is it not? Brahma Vidya means knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self or self-realization. So, Brahma Vidya Sarva Vidyam Pratishtam. All other Vidya has no existence if there is no Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is so powerful that all other Vidya is dependent on this. How is it dependent? For example, if you do not understand the soul, if you don't understand your own identity, all your so-called knowledge, what you are developing, is in all in avidya, in ajnanam. Is it not? Material knowledge, whatever we have manufactured in this world or developed in this world, that is all got no meaning because mainly it is all happening within Maya. And Maya does this amazing job, wonderful job. You will do a lot of research and find something as truth today. After 50, 60 years, she will put the whole thing, change and put exactly the opposite thing into your mind and confuse you. And then you will say that, oh, we have advanced in Shastra. We have found something new now. And this all misunderstanding Maya is capable of doing with us. And whereas Brahma Vidya is that Vidya which is outside the jurisdiction of Maya. That is why they said Brahma Vidya Sarva Vidyam Pratishtam. It is the all other Vidya has no strength as far as the Brahma Vidya is concerned. So coming back to this Tamogunam, what we are talking about here, you can see that the nature of this Brahma Vidya, Tamogunam, is that no interest in Brahma Vidya. And also in Salsangam. And similarly, if you hear something and it is not getting it, you are not able to capture it. And you can see at that time that there is tamogunam in me. I should know that tamogunam is working very strongly inside me. There is no point in blaming anyone for that. If you study Bhagavad Gita and if you are not able to understand Bhagavad Gita properly, don't blame Bhagavad Gita for that. Don't blame Bhagavad Gita for that. Blame the tamogunam, what is inside us. You have to blame the tamogunam, what is inside you. Because there is something in me that is working, which is not allowing me to realize who I am. Isn't it? It's not allowing you to realize who I am. And that is tamogunam. And that has to be removed from inside. And only if I remove that, the truth will manifest. And because truth cannot be given, handed over in a plate like that, it is not so easy. we can talk about that, and but that is why these days it is quite common now that people have to joke a lot while talking about the truth, while talking about the truth, while presenting Bhagavatam. It has become a now modern way of that, what they say that it is like this, that in the past people won't joke like this, like the way we joke nowadays in the Bhagavatam class or Bhagavad Gita class. It was never allowed. The serious thing it was. And reason being that what was spoken, people took it seriously. And people now people don't take it seriously. Therefore, the speakers also have learned this trick of making jokes in the class. And some people, they have made this their way of presenting, whole time making jokes about things. And so, and then they are preparing for Bhagavatam class means to find out how to make more jokes in the class. That some people are like that. And people think that Bhagavatam class is very interesting because it's a lot of jokes being spoken. It makes it more attractive to some people in that way. Not serious enough, because they are not able to take serious things seriously. Jokes takes a lot of time for that. So what the problem is that if we talk about jokes will stay in your mind. The message won't stay. When you leave the class, what will happen is only the jokes will be there in the head. All the message will be forgotten. So if you keep on making jokes, that's what happens. That's why you can see sometimes people, when they give the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita classes, they say, we need some interaction. Interactive classes, they call it. There's nothing to interact here. It's only Bhagavad Gita, that's all I have to speak. Nothing else apart from that, isn't it? So where did all this come from? This interacting business and all kinds of speaking in such a way that they say that otherwise people will get participate in the class in this way by interaction and by questioning and answering and all kinds of things. So this is the one reason. If you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Maharshi told the Vedavyas this thing, that don't go in that route. Look at Bhagavatam, you will see what Hari says. In the first canto, fifth chapter, that is where that instruction comes, isn't it? He mentions to him that fourteenth verse, if you look, Sri Narada Vacha, 14th verse, Tado Anyadha Kinchana Yadvi Vakshada Pridak Drashastal Kridaru Panamabhi Na Kutrasil Kobijadustita Madhir Lebheda Vada Hatano Hivas Padam. That is that instruction from Sri Narada Maharshi to Vedavyas. He says, Tato Anyadha Kinchana Yadvi Vakshada Pridak Drashastal Kridaru Panamabhi Na kutra jil kvapija dustita madir lebheda vada hadadau rivaspadam. Narada Maharshi is warning him, Vedavyas, saying to him that tat anyada kinchana yad vivakshada. If you talk about any other nonsense except the truth, he says, always talk about only the truth. What is the truth? Alma. Krishna, isn't it? That is the only truth in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam Param Dhimahi, Satyam Param Dhimahi. What is that Satyam Param Dhimahi? Krishna Param Dhimahi. So, except that, never talk about anything, never joke anything, says Narada Maharshi to Vedavyas. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, do you find anywhere Sri Narada Maharshi or Vedavyas or Shukha Brahmarshi joking like the way people are joking these days? You don't find it anywhere. Everything very serious, isn't it? Very serious business it is. So that seriousness should be maintained all the way throughout. That is what he's saying here. Tadho anyada kinchana yad vivakshadaha. Never talk about anything else except the truth. Pratak prashastal kridarupa namabhi. Only about Krishna. Only about Krishna. And if you do anything, accept the truth, if you start talking about anything, then what will happen is his mind will leave the truth and it will go and stay with the other things what you have spoken in the class. That's what he's saying here. And because the mind inside all of us is waiting for something else, doesn't want Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. That is waiting for these jokes. That's what mind is waiting for. Because mind has got this problem called Padartha Grahanam. Padartha Grahanam means Padartha Grahanam means that it wants something which can be captured within the mind. Mayam, to measure, to get within the grasp of the mind. Only then it will take it. So if we have not understood something, the problem is not with Srimad Bhagavatam, not with Bhagavad Gita. We have to remove that tamogunam, what is inside us, and develop satugunam inside us. And that is why Srinarayana Maharshi and had instructions from Sanat Kumara Maharshi. Sanat Kumara Maharshi told Srinarayana Maharshi this in the Chandogya Upanishad. Ahara Shuddham Sapta Shuddhi. Ahara Shuddham Sapta Shuddhi. Basically what Krishna is saying there, that if we remember yesterday we discussed the same thing. It is another form spoken in the Upanishad. What it is, if you withdraw your senses from the world, not allow any of the senses to take the world inside, eyes, ears, taste, touch, smell, any of the senses, if you don't allow them to go to the world and freely take such things from the world, then all the senses will get purer, will get purified. Sattugunam will build up. That is what instruction from Sanat Kumara Maharshi to Srinarayana Maharshi. It is in the 6th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. Chandogya Upanishad. In Chandogya, this 6th chapter is the most important chapter in that Upanishad. It's a very famous chapter, and it is in that chapter this famous statement called Tattvamasi comes in that. Therefore, it is very important chapter. And indeed, that is where it said, Sattugunam has to build up. In order to have that Sattugunam build up, Ahara Shuddhav Sapta Shuddhi. Aharam means food, generally it means food. So food in the mode of goodness will create goodness inside, no doubt. But normally it is also referred to, this is Ramanujacharya's version, Ahara Shuddhav Sapta Shuddhi. In fact, I mentioned this story also before, how Sattva Shuddhi was created through food. There is a whole story behind that. Ramanujacharya's life itself, that his spiritual master Nathmuni's case onwards, this Sattva Shuddhi was given in the Ramanuja Vaishnava Sampradaya so much importance that they gave so much importance to the food that's being eaten. And therefore, in their temples also, in Ramanuja Vaishnava temples, particular importance is given to the prasadam, to be only taken, nothing else. And they also knew in them days how to use this food as a great tool in developing sattvagunam in a person. Sattvagunam in a person. So there's a whole story about that. But anyway, coming back to, but that is Ramanujacharya's definition as aharam is concerned. But other acharyas have also given importance to everything else. They say not only the food, everything, any other intake into inside, through the mind, through the senses, anything that is going in, if it is pure, then sattva gunam will develop inside. Sattva gunam will develop inside. So, what you see through your eyes, what you smell through the nose, ears, and taste, and everything, if it is Krishna's prasadam and sattvayam, and only what is necessary, in that case, sattvagunam will build up inside. And what is the result of that? With sattvagunam, next thing what will happen is Shraddha. Shraddha will wake up inside. Shraddha, if it wakes up inside, Bhagavad Gita will be like a book which is open in front of you. It is so open in front of you and there will be no difficulty at all in understanding Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna's grace also will come in that way. So that is the important point Krishna wanted to mention there. So, coming back to this tamoguna, we have seen now these three modes of material nature, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamoguna. And it is important that we should know these differences between these three modes, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamoguna. Tatra sattvam nirmalatval prakashakam anamayam. Sukha sankhena badhinadi jnana sankhena chanaka. We have seen that. Rajo ragalpagam vidhi trishna sangha samulbhavam. Tam nibadhinadi kaundeya karma sankhena dehinam. Rajogunam. And now finally, tamastu ajnanajam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam. Pramadam alasam nidravi tam nibadhinadi bharada. So in all the three modes, Krishna has made it a point to say there, all three will bind. All the three will bind us, isn't it? Nibadhanadhi, he says. Nibadhanadhi. That means all three will bind. So you have to escape from all the three. You have to know, first thing you have to know, all the three will bind. Second thing you have to know, how they bind. One binds through knowledge, other one binds through karma, and this last one through pramadam, alasyam nidra. It binds. But binding is there. So unless we know these things, what they are, it is not possible to move away from that, isn't it? So therefore, we should continuously analyze these three verses again and again and develop it as our own understanding. Make it one's own understanding. Because only then you can judge situations when life, you are exposed to that, isn't it? So, in the 13th chapter, if you look, there was a verse there where Krishna mentions, it was 7. Verse was 24, I think. Ya evam veti purusha. Remember? Do you see that verse?
Yeah.
Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvadha vartamano bi nasa bhuyo bi jayate. That is that verse.
Yeah.
If you look at our 23rd verse in the 13th chapter. Yeah. See. Yeah. 24. Yeah. Ya evam veti purusham pradhim cha gunai saha sarvadha vartamano bi nasa bhuyo bi jayate. He mentions there, one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, that means these three modes of material nature, the living entity, that means the self, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. So in the 13th chapter, Krishna has spoken this, about the importance of these three modes of material nature, and also about the concern that living entity and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. Ya evam veti purusham pragatim cha gunai saha. Sarvada vartamanovi nasa bhuyovi jayate. He mentioned that in the 13th chapter itself. And that is what we are discussing now. Isn't it? These three modes of nature. So here, in order to realize the self, you have to know both these things. Which one? You have to know the prakriti first, and you also have to know the purusha, kshetrajnya. Kshetram, you have to know. Kshetrajnya also you have to know. Kshetram is prakriti, isn't it? So, prakriti we have to know in this way. Which one? These three modes of material nature of sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. And purusha you have to know in the form as kshetrajnya, what was spoken in the last chapter. And such a person, even if he continues to work in this world and he is engaged in vyavaharam, Still, if he dies, leaves his body, nasa bhuyo bi jayate, Krishna is saying there. isn't it? Now, that means he will not take birth again. He will not take birth again. So you can see how Bhagavad Gita takes us into the truth through different ways. Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, all Krishna has spoken before. Never to get stuck in one box. That is the most important thing while studying Bhagavad Gita. Not to get stuck in one box, saying that, oh, I am only following Bhakti Yogam, so these things are not applicable to me and leave it behind. Or because I am following the Karma Yogam, I don't have to worry about Jnanam or Bhakti, or thinking that, no, they are all a part of this process of realizing the truth. Process of realizing the truth. Which will help you when is very difficult to say. In your pursuit for the truth, they all have its own support to offer. Its own support to offer. So Krishna is saying here that person who has understood these three modes of material nature well and who is able to, who knows about that, about his identity and identity of the Purusha, that person, even if he is busy with the world in Vyavaharam, and even when he leaves his body, Nasabhuyo Vijayate, he says he will not take birth again. So, what does that mean? What does that mean when Krishna is saying that? Krishna is talking about a person who is already liberated in this world, Jivan Mukta state. Jivan Mukta state. Jivan Mukta means it's not a state actually. It's wrong to say it's a state. Because our real identity is we are liberated, is it not? It is a difficult thing to accept it because depending how gross we are, we will see these statements at different levels. If Vedantam is telling us, you are not bound, that's what Vedantam is telling us. We are feeling we are bound, is it not? We are feeling we are bound, we have got the gross body, mind, intelligence, over and above all these things, Shastra has also told us that 8.4 million different species of life, three modes of material nature, Shastra has frightened us with all that. And we are always frightened that what will be my next body, how many bodies have I gone through. This naturally our mind goes in that way. Listen now. So the important point here is, from that verse you can understand, Krishna is making one very important point here, that in your... If you are really know who you are, then you are always liberated. Normally your state is liberated state. It is not your... This bondage and all that has come afterwards. Is it not? Originally, we are not bound. We are liberated people. But bondage came later at some stage. We don't know when that has happened. It has happened. So, so these words like Jivan Mukta state, Nasabhuyo Vijayate, Videha Mukti, Jivan Mukti, these are words used in the Shastram for that purpose. If you very deeply accept those these statements, it has no meaning. Jivan Mukta state or Videha Mukta state means all this has no meaning. Because the moment you realize the truth, you realize the self, immediately you know that there is no bondage. That is what happens, isn't it? Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Sachidamananda yuvoham, aham evaham avyayam. Upanishad says that asangoyam, that I have no sangam with anything. This feeling that I have a connection with the body, connection with the mind, connection with the intelligence, ego, all these are imposed in me by the prakriti and by my vasanas and by my acceptance of that, that I have lost my identity, therefore I have accepted all of these things. Isn't it? So in reality, that you can see here, as much as we free ourselves from the those things where we are now in identity with, the more you free yourself, you are already coming closer to your own identity. That means if you keep on thinking within yourself, that body has nothing to do with me. And whatever you happen to the body, if you are willing to take it in that spirit, thinking that it is coming, going, what am I supposed to do with it? And same thing with the mind, where modes of nature are coming, going. This coming, going business is the very nature of this body and the mind. Intelligence, ego, everything. So, as much as those influences, if you have learned to give up of the modes of nature as well as the impact on the body, then you can see here that your own self will start slowly coming out in its pure form. So, such a person who has come to his identity in that way, he will realize one day he was never born and he is never dead. This understanding will come to him in a natural way. And he will also realize at that time that Saptugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam cannot bind me. This is also another realization that comes from that. Now, when we are discussing this chapter, we will say like this, oh, I have to free myself from this gunam, I have to free myself from that gunam, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, like this. We have to say like that. But as much as you get yourself, within yourself, this depth of understanding gets deeper. In a natural way, you will start seeing that I have nothing to do with the body. I have nothing to do with the mind. Then what have I got to do with the three modes of nature also? Where is the modes of nature? It is not in the soul. It is in the body and the mind and the intelligence. Krishna has spoken that many times before, isn't it? And so, similarly, just like about, see, you can see this in the Bhagavatam very clearly. Parikshit Maharaj came to hear Bhagavatam with the fear, I'm going to die, isn't it? He came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with this understanding that in 7 days' time I'm going to die. What did he say when he left? If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see what did he say when he left. He says, Shubhramarshi told him in that 12th chapter, 5th chapter, he says to him, Na jataha. Since you are not born, only if you are born you have to die, isn't it? Na jataha, he says. You are not born, then where is the question of death, he says. But only the difference is that when Shubhramarshi said this to Parikshit when he said to him that Tvamtu rajan marishyedi pashubuddhimimam jahi na jadaha pragavudodhyam dehavatvam namanshasi. Only Shubhramarshi can say this, isn't it? So such a statement it is. It's an amazing statement, isn't it? Who else can say this except Shubhramarshi, who is in that state all the time? All the time. So, what has happened here? Parikshit Maharaj came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. When he came, he says to all the sages who are present there that I have this curse from Shamigrashi's son Shringi that in 7 days' time I have to leave this body. And all that fear created so much vairagyam in him. He threw away all his palace and all the facilities and he sat down. And he asked these rishis who were present there, what should I do? It was at that time, Shubhramarshi walked in there. And Shubhramarshi started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. And at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what he had to say. He says to him, my dear king, Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi, give up your animal intelligence. That there's a thing called death. There is no such thing. Then, na jadaha, you are not born either. So what happened here? All what has happened is, simply by hearing Shubhramarshi's Bhagavatam, and finally this Brahmopadesham, that is that chapter called, if you look, you will see, Mahabharata, Mahabharata, Paramahamsayam, Samhidayam, Dvadasaskandhi, Brahmopadesham. It is called Brahmopadesham, means Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya, handed over to him. So, Brahmopadesham or Brahmavidya, what it has done actually was only remove the ignorance in Parikshit. What Parikshit had was ignorance, isn't it? So that ignorance was taken away and he realized there is no such thing called birth or death. That's what happened. And similarly, here also, When this happens, there is no such thing called birth and death. You will also know there is no such thing called three modes of material nature in you. Three modes of material nature is all in the viharam stage. It's all in the viharam only. For a realized soul, there is no three modes of material nature. When we hear, discuss these three modes of material nature, we always tend to think, what should I do now? What do I have to do to get out of the three modes of nature? Your mind goes in that way, isn't it? So, what is important here is that as much as there is no birth or death in the self, Atma, there is no three modes of material nature, also not present in the Atma, and our Swarupam is always independent. Always independent. Unfortunately, we are not getting it back. What can we do? That is our misfortune. That as soon as you realize that the self, which is completely independent of this body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, all these happening, birth and death, old age and disease, three modes of material nature, is all happening in our body, mind, intelligence, ego. It's not happening in the self. This knowledge always has to be there inside. Otherwise we will get pulled by this. And then we'll be fighting rest of the life for only this purpose. So here, in that liberated state, what did Parikshit say to him? So many things he said. That Brahmavadeshma, all the 13 verses are important. He says to him that na tumturajan marishedi pashubuddhimimam jahi na jadaha pragagododhya dehavatval na namshyasi. You are not created, first of all. You are always existing. Na jayate mriyate. Isn't it? Na jayate na mriyate. And just like body has been created, you are not created. Similarly, just like the body will be destroyed, you won't be destroyed. Just like the body was created, you were not created in that way. Like body was created, wasn't it? Material nature created this body. But you were not created. Similarly, body will be destroyed, but you will not be destroyed. That is the difference between you and the body. He mentioned all that. And he gave some very beautiful, that chapter is very important. He says, Svatne yadha shirascheyam majyatva adhyatmana swayam asmat pashe dehasya tada atma hyajo amaraha. Atma's glory. He is saying that in this dream state, your head is cut off. But you come back and then you realize that it was only an illusion. And similarly, when you see this body also, he says to him, Sheshwar Pashiri Dehasya, Tada Alma Ajo Amareha. Body has come like that. In the dream it came and gone. You cut your head off, nothing happened. And when you woke up, it was there. Similarly, when you have woken up to the self, to Alma, when this body goes, you won't know about it. You won't even know that the body has gone. Body has gone. Because that is what is called realization, isn't it? That you realize that body didn't exist. Body has no meaning. It is something like the tree standing there, it's standing there. Aham Brahma Param Rama Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samichan Atmanam Atmanyadhaya Nishkare. And he says, and this is Parishit, Dashandam Tatshatam Bhade Lelihanam Vishalmanam Vishanane Nadrakshasi Sarirancha Vishyamcha Pratakalmana. Look at Sukha Brahma Sri's state of realization. He says to him that Takshaka will come now and he will touch your body and this poison, everything will go. And then what will happen? You won't see your body anymore. But what else will happen? He says, that is more interesting. Nadrakshasi shariramcha. You won't see your body anymore. More interesting than that, you won't see this world itself. That is self-realization. That is self-realization. Nadrakshasi shariramcha vishwamcha prithak almanam. Only what you will be knowing that I am Atma, Self. That is what it is there. So, when it comes to that state, even three modes of material nature is over. There is no standing there in front of all the things. So, there you can see, particularly, Parikshit didn't have to get it come out of the three modes of material nature. It all happened in the process of realizing the Self. So, self-realization process finally gets us released from the three modes of material nature. Krishna will talk about that in this chapter itself later. So, what is happening is that in my Swarupam, which is permanently liberated. That is my real Swarupam, isn't it? In there, so many impurities have come. Which are these impurities? First impurity is that my personality, I am this ego. I am so and so. That personality is an impurity in me. Another impurity is this body. Another impurity is this world. These are all impurities in the self. Impurities in the self. And similarly, you will also realize that these three modes of material nature is also is an unusual phenomenon that is happening in the self, in the background of the self. And very clearly, one who has realized the truth, he sees all these things completely with full clarity. With full clarity, he will see all these things when he realizes the self. That's what will happen. That is the bottom message there. Because that person, whatever vyavaharam he does in this world, all or whatever happiness and distress he is experiencing in this world, it may appear like that to others in their eyes, but as far as he is concerned, he doesn't even have a body. As far as that person is concerned, he doesn't even have a body. He has reached that state, in other words. All the impurities have gone. Ego has gone, therefore personality has gone. Then, three modes of material nature he has transcended, therefore they have gone from three modes of material nature. Gross body is concerned, he is not even conscious of that. Although, for other people, it appears as though there was a body there present. And similarly, the other things like the mind, intelligence. And as far as he is concerned, the world is not existing anymore. As the way we... This world, logam, logam as it is called, is only what we perceive through the senses, isn't it? That's what... Therefore, we have dvandvam, duality in the world, and namarupam. Namarupam is the world. So, namarupa vihaya means that as much as possible not to see this name and form in people. Rather see the Krishna's presence in there, inside as the Atma. So imagine that state. You can see, imagine that state. That you have to imagine a state like that. At the moment that's all we can do. You have to imagine a state like that. No body, no world, and an existence where no modes of nature, no birth and death, no old age and disease. Imagine that state for the moment. Because we are not in that state yet. So you have to imagine. So if you imagine that state, there is no body. Imagine that state. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Krishna mentions, Upanishads also says. And that is exactly the state Krishna said to whom? To Uddhava. Dehastobi na dehasta. This is it. Dehasnobina dehasta vidwan sopnad yadotida adehasnobina dehasta kumadi sopnadrik yatha, he says. Remember that verse, it's an important verse in the, I think it is the 10th chapter of the 11th canto. Dehasnobi na dehasta. He is in the body, but he is not conscious of his own body. That is it. That's that state. That is the state what Parikshit has come to at the end. Body was there, but he was not in the body. And he was not, it's not, it didn't happen after the body was burned. Even before the body was burned, he has gone out of the body. Consciousness, in other words. Completely identification with the self. No identification with the body at all. So, if you have moved away from this gross body, and if your identity with the self is totally established, you can almost take it that the same way you have escaped from the three modes of material nature also. So in the other's eye, it appears as though you have got a body still. And in other's eyes, it appears as though you are enjoying or you are suffering. But in his own state is concerned, he is not enjoying, he is not suffering from any... Because as far as he is concerned, the body is gone long ago. Older, it has left long ago. In highly liberated personalities, you will notice this. Liberated souls, you will notice this happening. Throughout history, this is a well-known thing. That they all say that there is no body. There is no body to suffer. So many times, many Mahatmas have said this. They were suffering heavily with the looking at them, but they were saying that, I don't have a body. Oh, who is suffering then? Who is suffering then? You are looking after me, they said. So therefore, I don't know, but you are feeling the pain. I am not feeling the pain, he said. So, but pain is there, but he is not experiencing that in the mind. So, at that time you may start, it is at that time you start thinking that this liberated state is something different than all these things. No, it's not something different than that. So, it is only at that, then what happens is, when very great personalities, when they show this nature in them, we start saying, oh, he is a realized person, therefore he has reached a very high state, or he is God and things like that, people start talking about it. So, but important point is, that state is natural to everyone, And if you can understand this when you look at small children, for small children, they don't have a body. I don't know whether, you got to look at them very carefully. They don't have a body in reality because 2 or 3 months old babies, if you look at them, how much they identify with the body? Not at all, isn't it? That they don't have any thought that they are that body. And because they are not still identified with the body. Their body is in this world, and more than them, we think that they have got a body. They don't know that they have got the body, but we think they have got the body, and then we start all our operations one after the other. We bring it in, bathing them, washing them, cleaning them, feeding them, putting them to sleep. And then because in our Ajnanam we are working. They have not fallen into that trap yet. So even though they are fed in, we are feeding them and making them and they are sleeping and all these things, they still haven't identified with the body completely. From that you have to understand that we were also like that one time. So just like the spider creates a web and enters into it, and little by little it identifies with everything as a spider, isn't it? So therefore, basically what we have to do is we have been hypnotized in this way, that we are this body. So this dehypnotizing is what is necessary. So there is not a lot to know in spiritual life. It is a misunderstanding to think that I have to study all the shastra and everything. If these simple things, if it gets realized inside, problem is over. So up to this point, Krishna has spoken about these three modes. Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. And some people say that, oh, it's a very tough subject, these three modes of material nature, isn't it? But what can we do? It is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, so we have to talk about it, isn't it? But in reality, there is not so much to know about these three modes of material nature. It's not a lot to know about it. Only thing what you have to know is, I'm not this body. And keep on repeating that yourself, that I'm not this body. And in fact, even if you have not realized it, still you should say that to yourself. Experience doesn't have to, it may not realize it now at this stage. Because that experience, already you have it inside, that you are not the body. That experience already you have when you were a baby. But at some point in time, that experience will come out from inside. Therefore, like a mantra, we have to chant this, I'm not this body, body is not mine, body belongs to Prakriti. And is this body mine? That is not sure, isn't it? Body belongs to Prakriti. I don't know anything about this body, what is happening inside this body. First of all, it is not in my control, isn't it? It doesn't listen to me. It makes a lot of demands. All I'm doing is, I'm trying to satisfy the demands of the body. Body is not in my control. Actually, I'm in the control of the body to a large extent, isn't it? Body asking many, many things, and I'm trying to supply everything what the body is asking for. And with my knowledge of the body, I'm not able to do anything with this body. Thirdly, this body is not meant for my purpose. As much as you have seen, the body is not mine. That is very easy to understand. I am not this body is not very difficult. Everybody accepts that, isn't it? I am not this body. If somebody has doubts there, then very difficult. I am not this body is the first step. Allow me that, body is not mine. How do I know body is not mine? Because everything is happening in the body without any of my involvement, isn't it? Never ask me any permission. I ask for food, I supply the food. When the food goes in, what happens after that? No knowledge of it. What happens? It goes in and so many things happens inside the body. So when digestion is concerned, I have no knowledge what happens inside. As far as breathing is concerned, I have no knowledge. It goes on whether I am awake or not awake, or I am sleeping or dreaming or awakened state, doesn't matter. That function is going on its own. Blood is circulating inside, food is getting digested, and so many activities, thoughts are coming, and intelligence is working on its own way. I seems to realize that I have no control on any of those things, which is a strong indication to say that body is not under my control. I am not this body, body is not mine. Body is not mine. But not only that, with my knowledge, I am not able to do anything with this body. Thirdly, this body is not meant for my purpose. And this is the main sadhana. This is the main sadhana. So we'll stop there now and we'll have some kirtan.